Amen. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalms this morning. The book of Psalms, chapter 139. Psalm 139. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness to the house of God. And Lord, like I said earlier, I couldn't think of any place that I'd rather be. Amen. On the last Sunday of 2013, to be in the house of God, seeking Him. Amen. Worshiping Him. So let's look in Psalm 139 this morning. You know, it seems as if most companies, if you work for a company that has product or records, and most of you do, every year your company most likely takes an inventory, does an audit of their records, their accounts, things that they have, whether it be products, their inventory, whatever. Everybody wants to do take an audit at the end of the year, see where they're at, what they have, what they've done. Amen. Y'all familiar with what I'm talking about this morning, what an audit or an inventory? An audit is an official examination of an account or the records or buildings or merchandise, something that companies deal with each and every year, and they do an audit every year. You do an audit, it's an examination that tells you where you're at. And I believe as we look here into the Word of God, we'll see that the psalmist here is teaching us that we sometimes need to take a spiritual audit. And so with that thought in mind, I want to preach on a spiritual audit this morning. I'm just going to warn you up front, this may not be a message that you get excited and run the aisles about. Amen. I like them kind of messages. I like to preach. Amen. I got excited a while ago just thinking about that new heaven and new earth, that new Jerusalem. Amen. I'm looking forward to that. But you know, while we're living in this earth, while we're living and traveling through this journey in which we're in today on this earth, God wants us to live right. He wants us to live for Him. Sometimes we've got to take a spiritual evaluation of ourselves and do a spiritual audit, a checkup, if you will. And that's exactly what we want to talk about this morning. I want you to look with me in Psalm 139. This is a great psalm that the Word of God holds for us, and we're looking to it. The very first verse, the Bible says, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me." That's a great truth there, to know that God has searched me. He knows everything about me. The Bible says, "And known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it." Here in the first six verses, the psalmist is speaking about the omniscience or the all-knowing ability of God. That God, a sovereign God in heaven, He knows everything about me. He knows my thoughts. He knows my words. He knows my actions. He knows when I sit down and when I rise up. Listen, there's nothing about me that God does not know. The omniscience of God. And then He goes in verses 7 and He says, "Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall behold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee." Here we not only see the omniscience of God, but here in these verses the psalmist has shown us and talked to us about the omnipresence of our God. That not only does He know all, but that He is everywhere. He's everywhere. You can look. You can't hide from God. Wherever you go, He's there. Let me help you out. When you get to tomorrow, He's already there waiting on you. You can't hide from God. The omnipresence of God. And then in verse 13, He says, "For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." So much for the abortionist crowd, amen, that says that a baby's just an embryo. It's not a living self. Hey, the psalmist said, "You knew me." Listen, "I will praise Thee," watch this, "for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Watch this. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. He's speaking here of how the baby was formed in the mother's womb. He said, listen, you knew about me. You were in control even then creating me. He said, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Here, listen, not only the psalmist points out God's knowledge or His omnipresence, not only His presence that He's always there, but His omnipotence that God is in control. God is all-powerful. Even when even before there was a David who wrote this psalm, even before he was born, how God had the power to create him and to watch over him and to have His hand upon him in his mother's womb. Omnipresence. He's all-powerful. And then he goes on in verse 19 and he says, surely thou wouldst slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly. And thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Here we see the psalmist speaking of the righteous indignation or the holy righteous judgment of this God who knows all, is everywhere, and is all powerful. That God one day is going to judge the world in righteousness and in holiness. We see here that the psalmist takes note of the attributes of God, how that God knows all about him, how that God is everywhere he goes, he can't hide from God. And that how God is in control, He's all powerful, and that God one day is going to judge the world in righteousness. And the psalmist then, we see him in a humble response to the knowledge of God or that he has. And he's longing, in verse 23 and 4, he is longing for God to reveal who He really is and asking God for guidance along with forgiveness. Watch verse 23. And verse 24. Verse 23 and verse 24 is a prayer that I would hesitate to say not many would be willing to pray today. But God help us. I'm not going to preach through this whole chapter. I'm going to focus in on verses 23 and 24. And God help us as the psalmist to be able to say just these words. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God help us. Father, in Jesus' name, God, I pray You take Your word, and I pray You'd search our hearts by the power of Your Holy Spirit. God, move this morning. Meet with us and help us, God, to humble ourselves before Your presence. To be honest with God, honest with ourselves, and to take a spiritual audit, a true revealing evaluation of self. God, help us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, there can be no true examination of myself until there's first an exaltation of my Savior. The psalmist here speaks of the omniscience, the omnipresence, the omnipotence, and the righteous judgment of God. He's really putting God on a pedestal and saying, God, You're out there. You're on a pedestal all by Yourself. You know what I don't know. You're where I can't be. There's nowhere I can hide. You can do things I can't do. You're going to judge. There's no escaping it. God, You're a sovereign God. And so, God, I'm humbling myself. I'm exalting You. And God, I'm asking You to search my heart. We exalt the Savior when we look at His attributes and when we know God. We exalt Him and we lift Him up and put Him, listen, in our minds we put Him because God's already put Him there. But in our minds and in our hearts we allow Him to be seen as high and as holy and as righteous as He is. And in doing so, it puts us in a humble, if you will, a crouched, bowed position. If not literally, then spiritually. Before His presence. God's up here, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, He's not the man upstairs. He's not living down on our level. But He's the sovereign, holy God.
Amen.
And I thank God that He is, but when I look at Him in that light, in that perspective, it shows me how little I truly am before His presence. And so there's an exaltation of the Savior, and there, along with that, comes an examination of self. Can I say, without an examination of ourself, we would never be exalted by the Savior. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Peter said over in Peter's epistle, he said in 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 6, listen, he said, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. You humble yourself in the sight of God, and He'll exalt you in due time. But until you and I would examine self and realize that God's up here and we're down here, and we humble ourselves and allow God to examine us, listen, there can never be an exaltation of us by the Savior until we examine ourselves. I would say, you said, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm saying there's an audit that needs to take place. That means not, listen, we're not counting little parts in a bin. We're not counting numbers in a financial record somewhere. We're not auditing. We are auditing the spiritual condition of our life. We're asking God to search me and to try me. Listen, can I say this? Unless there is an honest evaluation of self, we will never make any progress. We will never have true growth spiritually. There must be honesty and humility. Listen, these things are imperative for us to move forward in our relationship with Jesus Christ. God did not save you and I to stay stagnant on a plateau. But He saves you so that you can press forward every day, pressing toward the mark, climbing higher, reaching higher heights, listen, reaching higher goals, listen, pressing on toward the mark. He saves you that you may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He didn't save you to go backwards. He didn't save you to stay the same. He saves us and He wants us to grow. He wants us to set goals. He wants us to achieve more. He wants us to press on each and every day. And we, you and I, it takes humility, yes. It takes honesty to allow God to open to us and to reveal to us who we really are. There's some hypocrisy that lies within all of us if we be honest. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Within my own heart and within my own mind, I would look at self and say, oh yeah, old Travis is doing real good. He's faithful to church. He gives tithes and offerings. He passes out tracts. He knocks on doors. Oh, he's real good. But see, I'm looking at the shallow. I'm looking at the superficial. I'm looking at the outside. God Almighty in heaven above knows what's on the inside. And God not only knows what I do, but He knows why I do it. There must be an honest humility. Humble yourselves in the sight of God. So this morning with this thought in mind, I want you and I, listen to me. Don't worry about the person beside you. Don't worry about the person behind you. Don't worry about your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister. But like the old song says, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. So this morning, listen, as we close out 2013, may we humbly come before God and say, as the psalmist said, search me, O God. The psalmist's prayer is that God would audit him or take inventory of his life, of his heart, so that it would be an honest and a thorough examination that would produce a worthy outcome in his life. I repeat myself, you can never make progress and take steps to move forward until you have an honest examination and evaluation and come to grips with where am I. If I realize where I am, I realize where I need to move forward, where I need to make changes, where there needs to be some adjustments made. I have to examine, I have to, and once again, in my own self, there's hypocrisy. In my own self, I see me as the best that I am, and I see you as the worst that you are. Let's be honest. When you look at others, it's easier to see their flaws. And when you look at yourself, it's hard not to see your best. And so this morning, may we not search our own hearts and know ourselves, but may we ask God to search me and to try me as you know me. I want to say a few things about this audit, if you will, this examination. I want to say, when God does a spiritual audit, when we come honestly and humbly before God and ask Him to search our hearts, can I say, number one, this will be a deep audit. A deep audit. The psalmist said in verse 23, he said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." In the very first verse of this chapter, he used that same word, and when he said, "Thou hast searched me and know me." Now here in verse 23, he's saying, "Search me, O God." That word "search" is not a mere observation of the outside. It is not as if one is going across the ground and scattering through the pebbles. It is the word that is used to search out, to examine and to investigate. Here the idea is not just to look at the outward on the surface, but this word is used of careful scrutiny. It's a word that was used used to describe a mining exploration or the exploring of a new country or a continent. To go in and to mine into a mountain and to investigate and to look and to see everything that's inside of that mountain. To mine it out. You take your tools and you go in and you mine it out. You're looking for the ore. You're looking for the gold. You're looking for the coal. Listen, when you go in there, you can't just assume that everything is what you're looking for. This is a searching out. This is an examination. And listen, this is an exploring. This is asking God to, "God, search me. I'm opening myself spiritually to you. God, search me. God, here I am. I know I can't fool you. I know that you're an omnipotent God. I know you're omnipresent. I know you're all-powerful. I know you're going to judge me. So God, here I am humbly before your presence, and I come before your face, and God, I'm bowing before you, and I'm asking you, God, search me. Search me. God, see the real me. Know my heart, because I know that my heart, as Jeremiah said, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." Somebody said, "Oh, that person's doing wrong, but bless their heart, they got a good heart." No, the heart is deceitful. The heart is desperately wicked. That's why they do the bad things. But this is not a shallow observation. This is asking God to look past the outside. Because you and I, we see the actions. We see the deeds. But God, listen to me, God knows your attitude. God knows your heart. When speaking of your heart, He's not talking about that organ in here that pumps blood. He's speaking of, "Search me, know my heart." He's speaking of your innermost beings, the seat of your emotions, who you really are, what drives you. Could we say it like this? "God, search me out and see what makes me tick." An examination that's deep. A checkup, if you will. "God, get your x-ray lens. Run me under it. God, do a spiritual CAT scan, if you will. God, get your balloon. Hey, God, go inside me. God, explore me. God, mine out and show me what really lies within me. I wonder how this morning, how many of us would be willing to pray in sincerity such a prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. A deep examination. But then he doesn't stop there. He goes on and he says, try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. There is something about this audit. That this audit is a determining audit. A determining audit as if it would cause me to renounce some things in my life. Not only did God search me and know me, but He's going to try me. The word try means to examine or to scrutinize, but it means also to test or to prove. It is used of the testing of gold and precious stones, that they would put them under pressure, they would cause them to go under certain tests to test their true qualities, to see what they were truly made of. Testing of gold, testing of a person under trial, testing of the heart, testing of the man of God. It's used in all these ways throughout the Word of God. Here's what the psalmist said. Not only God searched me and looked at me, but he said, God put me to the test. And see if there's anything in me that's worth keeping. And see if there's anything in me that needs to be thrown to the side and cast off. God, know my thoughts, he says. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. He's not just asking God to show him his mirror IQs, but more, he's asking God, don't just show me what I do, but show me why I do it. God can search us and try us and reveal our motives. There's a lot of people this morning, listen to me, they come to church, they got a nice haircut, they got a nice suit of clothes, they got a nice dress on, they look the part. But God knows why you look the part. God knows why you put money in the plate. God knows why you're here this morning. There are those here this morning and they're here to impress the preacher. They're here to impress a boy or a girl. They are here to impress their husband or their wife. Or they're here to see their friends. But God knows deep down inside why each one of us are here. There are people that go soul winning and knock on doors and pass out tracts. God knows not only that you do it, but God knows why you do it. There are people, listen, I hate to say this, and it's a good thing. A lot of these things are good things. They're needful things. But can I say to you that all these things that we're talking about, many times we stress Bible reading and prayer and passing out tracts and faithfulness to church, and we say, if you do that, you're spiritual. Honey, hold on. Those things don't make you spiritual. You do those things most likely if you are spiritual. But just because you do those things, that does not necessarily make you spiritually right with God. I've known some people that could quote the Bible and preach to you, but they couldn't do it unless they're drunk. I know people that talk about the Bible and pass out tracts, and they're lost. I know people that are faithful to church, but they don't know God. Other people that read the Bible and they study the Word of God, but they don't know the God of the Word. Just because we have these things on the outside doesn't mean that we're right on the inside. We've got to be careful. That's why we have to ask God to examine us. God to not only search me, but to try me and to put me to the test. And God, show me my thoughts. See, watch this, see if there be any wicked way. A way that causes pain, a way that's going to bring grief. Any wicked way, any wicked mannerism, any wicked habits. Our motives are revealed. Show me, listen, show me what to keep. Show me what to throw away. Show me, God, what I need to renounce. Show me, God, what I need to abandon. God, show me my thoughts. Scary. Being honest, scary.
that God knows this morning, not only what I'm doing this morning, but God knows my heart. And God knows my thoughts. And God knows those things I meditate on and those things I long for. And those earnest cravings on the inside. God knows what you're thinking about this morning. God knows things inside of you that you may not even know that are there yet. And the psalmist says, God, search me. Know my heart. But then he says, try me. Know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way. It's interesting to me that the psalmist must have been close to God for him to say, see if there be any wicked way. Most of us, we don't have to ask God to see that. We know there's some wicked ways in us. But the psalmist says, see if there be any wicked way. This is an earnest man who wants to be right with God. And he realizes he can't get any closer until he realizes, and God reveals to him what is there that needs to be gone. And so would you be honest this morning to say, God, show me, is there things in my life that I would renounce, that I would abandon? And I wonder if God was to put His finger on something in your life this morning, would you be willing to abandon it? Would you be willing to put it aside? Would you be willing to throw it out of your life? Should God put His finger? You say, oh, no, not that. Should God muscle His finger around in your heart and in your life and show you an area in your life where you need some adjustments, where you need to confess, where you need to be made more like Christ? Would you be willing to do as He wills? This audit is deep. This audit is determining. It shows us what's good, what's bad, what must be kept, what must be done away. And can I say, without this honest evaluation, there's no progress. There'll be no spiritual growth. There'll be no moving forward. We must be honest. And if we will, we see that this audit, not only is it deep, and not only is it determining, but this audit is directing. Because the psalmist continues and he says, and lead me in the way everlasting. Basically, the word lead means to guide along or to bring me along into a certain area. To be the pioneer, to show me which direction I must take. Basically what he's saying is, God, after you search me and after you try me, after you put me to the test and you show me what needs to be gone and what I need to keep and the way I need to go, listen, once I know, show me which way and help me to go in the direction that you give me. He's speaking here of in the way. Notice it didn't say in a way. But he said, and lead me in the way everlasting. He's speaking of the course of life, the path, the journey, the direction, the road that I must take. The way. There are many ways today that people try to take. But would we honestly come before God and say, God, search me, try me. Get rid of the bad. Show me the right. And lead me in the way everlasting. I'm talking about the way. The wicked way. The Bible says the way of the wicked is going to perish. The wicked will go their way. They will think they are right. And listen, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The wicked's way is going to perish. But this way everlasting is a way that's perpetual. He's speaking of the ancient way. Listen, we're looking at the past. It's ancient. It's a long time ago. Listen, this way was everlasting in the past. But then in the future, he says it's going to be forever and it always will be the same way. It's indefinite. It's a way of eternity. God, lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the way. Jeremiah said, seek ye out the old path. Listen, hey, show me the way that's good. Show me the right way. Where are we, church? Where are we? I'm not speaking of a geographical location, but spiritually, where are we? Honestly, evaluate and ask God to examine and to search us and to try us. God, where am I? Have I grown spiritually from last year to this year? Have I made any progress spiritually? Have I learned to trust Him more? Have I been in His Word studying and learning and feeding on the Word of God? Have I made progress or have I began to digress? Am I closer to the Lord than I was last year? Or have I begun to slip away? Do I trust Him more and more day by day? And do I love Him more and more day by day? Or have I begun to doubt Him? And have I begun to question Him? God, honestly, search me and try me and know me. Know my heart. See if there be any way in me to be wrong, the wicked way. And then lead me in the way of everlasting. Where are we? And ask ourselves not only where are we, but where does God want us to be? Does God want us to stay spiritually on a plateau? Or does God have a higher ground for us that we should be pressing for and stretching for every day? God, help us not to be satisfied with stagnant status quo. God, help us to be pressing on and to be reaching for the mark and the prize and to be pressing on each and every day of our life. God, help us to learn to evaluate continually, not just once a year, but to come before God and say, God, where am I? Who am I? What am I? God, what is in me that is not like You? God, what is in me that is holding me back spiritually? Because ladies and gentlemen, can I say that if we get our heart right, the exterior would take care of itself. If we get our heart where it ought to be with God, listen, I won't have to beg you to knock on doors. I won't have to beg you to be faithful to church. I won't have to beg you to give Him the offering. I won't have to beg you to witness to lost souls. I won't have to beg you to have a burden. I won't have to beg you to do things around the church. Listen, if you get your heart right and you get where you ought to be with God spiritually and you grow, listen, you'll be knocking the doors down. You'll be busting out the walls. You'll be faithful as you've ever been. You'll love God more. You'll trust God more. You'll press on. You'll be going on. God, show us the wicked in our life. He said, preacher, how can God examine me? How can God know my heart? Through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. The writer of Hebrews said, Hebrews chapter number 4, verse 12, he said, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, watch this, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Can I say there'll be no true examination of yourself by the Savior apart from the Scriptures. But as you get in this Word, as you study this Word, there's a lot of people, that's the heart that's destined for the wicked. All I feel in my heart, I'm alright. I feel like I'm alright. I feel like I've never felt. What does God say? When's the last time you got in this book and studied and said, God, show me. Lead me in the way that's everlasting. I'm talking this morning about a spiritual audit. A company that takes an audit, they take that audit and they know where they are within the realms of their company. They know if they're making progress. They know if they are making a profit. They know if they need to make adjustments. They know if somebody's stealing. They know if somebody's being dishonest. They know if changes need to be made so that they can make steps forward in the year to come. And can I say spiritually, as we come before God and say, God, audit me, take inventory of my life, search me, try me, then And only then can God show us areas that we need to change and ask God to help me to make forward progress in the year to come. In my life that's in front of me, God, the rest of my life, God, help me to be honest. Help me to come before you. Search me and try me and know me and lead me where you'd have me to be. Where he leads me, the song said, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I wonder this morning, would you be honest? Would you humble yourself and say, God, my family thinks I'm okay. People at church thinks I got it all together. But God, between me and you, nobody else in this circle, just me and you. God, won't you show me this morning my heart? Won't you reveal to me my thoughts? And God, would you take your word and discern and determine what's in my life that ought to be there and what's in my life that needs to be thrown in File 13. And God, show me the direction. Lead me. Lead me in the right path. Lead me in that way of everlasting. God, help me. Would God help us to be honest this morning? Allow Him to do a spiritual audit of our life. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, we thank you, Lord, through your word. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here. And God, I pray you'd help us. You spoke to my heart. In studying and in preaching this message, God, you've spoken to me and showed me areas in my life. So God, I pray that you help us to be honest and to come before you and allow you to do a work in our life. Search us, oh God. Try us. Discern the thoughts and the intents of our heart and reveal them to us so that we may confess where there needs to be confession. We may adjust what needs to be adjusted. That we may abandon what needs to be abandoned. And that we may reach heights higher spiritually than we've ever reached before. For the glory of God. Would you help us this morning? In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray.